The lesson readings taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. Love the Lord your God. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That's the word of the Lord.
And our second reading is from Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 28. And that's on page 1018 in the Bibles, if you're reading from there. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all..." "The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, and with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Whoa, what a church full. Hello, welcome to, on this beautiful day. It's great to see everybody. Well, we've got two separate readings today, one Old Testament, one New. And they follow, I think, the progression of Almighty God becoming a people who would be obedient to him, who would trust only in him, who would never turn aside to worship any other but him. A people who would grow and flourish that he had created for them. Reminds you of Eden, doesn't it? The Garden of Eden. And they would live with him under his constant love and blessing, knowing his people. But it didn't work that way, did it? The first people that he created had fallen by disobeying God and choosing their own will. In their pride, they choose their own will in opposition to his, by being deceived by the devil, whose desire is always and always will be to destroy God's work. This is what we find when we come to know Jesus, don't we? We've committed to Jesus. Suddenly there's someone poking at you saying, "Oh, would you like to do this? Would you like to do this?" And that's the devil. The result was that our loving Father persisted and spread through the generations that followed, right down to now, making all that is opposite to God's righteousness attractive to us with our human nature. God's love is much stronger than everything. It knows no bounds. We've got to know this, that God's love never fails. It never lets us go. It persists and persists because he doesn't want to lose anyone. He wants all people to come to know him. And our two readings describe the way that mankind can be saved from all that opposes our righteous God and can bring us back into a relationship with him. That way is by obedience to his guidance, as we've heard, his commandments, which are straightforward. It's a shame, really, we haven't got time to look at all the Ten Commandments. I bet between us we could name them all. Anyway, in our first reading, we meet Moses. He was the man who God had chosen to lead his people Israel out of the cruel slavery that they were under in Egypt, into a beautiful, fruitful land where they could settle, and if, but only if, they would follow his laws or commands, which God had given them for their good. What God required from them was to be devoted to him. Here's that word again, we've heard it in previous weeks, to be devoted first to God. If they kept the laws that he made for them, they would be protected from the corruption of the surrounding nations who were deadly evil. They were idol worshipping. They were sacrificing their babies to immeasurably awful things. And God wanted to keep his people enclosed. Throughout Israel's journey through the desert, God had over and over again, he divided the Red Sea. Come on, only God can do that. So that they could pass through safely. And that the Egyptian army who pursued them to kill them, that'll do, one miracle like that. And then in the desert, where there was no food, he provided bread. He provided water, clear, beautiful water. He provided meat, except by God, to sustain them. And yet, his people never stopped moaning. They wanted to go back to Egypt. We have wonderful food there, they said, whatever. So God called Moses up onto Mount Sinai. He had formed the Ten Commandments for him to take down to the people and tell them that this is what God had formed. If you remember the first time, it didn't work, did it? The second time he went, he had to go a second time. The first time he found the people, feeling he'd been too away from them, had put all their jewelry and gold together and made an idol that they could worship. God was very angry, and Moses pleaded with God, please, please don't leave your people. It was, as it says in Isaiah 59, your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Can you think of anything worse? To be separated from God so that he won't hear us when we speak to him. They were now at the point of possible destruction in their sinfulness and lack of faith in him. But still, our Father refused to destroy them. And that, my friends, is what the love of God is like. So eventually, they received rules that they should obey. And Moses brought them to the people, and this is what he said. These are the commands, decrees, and laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in Jordan to possess the other side of the Jordan. They had to fight for that as well. So that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God, as long as you live by keeping all these decrees and commandments, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear Israel, and be careful to obey so that it might go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Who wouldn't want that? The New Testament teaching is that God became human in the person of Christ. He was Jesus Christ, but he was also God. Because the only way that God could save his people from evil and destruction for all of our sins for all of us to have a chance of salvation and a new life in him, which will never end, was by God sacrificing his son. Then all who will trust not in themselves, but in him alone, will belong to him forever. Oh, how are we doing on that? We've been hearing through the Easter season of the appalling death of Jesus on that cross, but followed by the glorious resurrection for every one of us. He, the only sinless person who ever walked the earth, appeased God's wrath by dying, shedding his sin. Everything you've ever done wrong, everything I've ever done wrong, he took on that awful cross so that we might have a chance of life. And in doing that, Jesus has mended the relationship between our Father in heaven. If people will only recognise and accept this love, who wouldn't humble ourselves, admit our guilt, and plead to Jesus? When Jesus walked the earth as a man, he too felt the pull of sin on his flesh, as we do. He felt that attraction, but he never gave way to it. Never. And pain, as we do. He wept, didn't he, with Lazarus's sisters at Lazarus's death, even though he knew that he was going to bring him back to life. He wept over Jerusalem, over the Jewish nation, his death, because he knew that those people were going to be calling for his death. He resisted Satan in the desert when he was starving and weak. He wept in anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he knew his end was soon to come. Was there another way? No, there was no other way, and he walked into it. He ministered to the lost, didn't he, Jesus? And the lonely, the beggars, the thieves, the ignorant, the poor, the prostitutes, the damned. And he saved all who would put their trust in him by showing that he, the Son of God, is the only way that men and women can be restored to the God who created them. However, that first beautiful step to knowing and accepting Jesus is only the beginning of our new life. This is wonderful. It will be followed by a lifetime's journey of continual blessing, of transformation by his Spirit in us, where when he imparts him to us all, we are gradually changed day by day to become. And every day, every moment, we can feel the love of God, this amazing love that doesn't compare with human love. Sure, we all trip up sometimes. Sometimes we crash. He is always ready to pick us up and dust us off and set us off again. And that's why we say our confession together every time we meet to worship. And that Spirit of Jesus, day by day, slowly but surely changes our natures. And we experience and exhibit the fruit of that Spirit. Do you remember? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control by his Spirit. And more, by his Spirit, he gives us all gifts that we can use to serve him. Gifts that Jesus demonstrated to his disciples. And then we can be part of his purpose. We too can go and make disciples. We can sow seeds by our conversations, by our prayers, by all that we can do to love each other. And however we serve Jesus, we will know his pleasure. He said in John's Gospel, John 14, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And the teaching that leaps out of both of these conversations, God with Moses, Jesus with the scribe, is the most important thing. And sometimes, for mere mortals, as we are, the most difficult thing. It doesn't. The first of the commandments was, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. In Jesus and the scribe, it went further. He says, the most important command is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. With your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is love your neighbour as yourself. Teaching will cause damage to us and damage to the person that we will not love. We all, that sinfulness has a chance to grow. You see, as humans, we tend to quantify one sin against another. Don't judge, or you will be judged. We're called to love each other whatever we are like, whatever anybody's like, just as Jesus did. And we must treat people, even our enemies, as we treat ourselves. So knowing that, how dare we pick and choose? Only God knows who will receive Jesus as their saviour. Well, I think our human reactions to that is, I can't do that. And God agrees that we can't. Not without his power, not without his spirit poured into us. He is our fuel, and through his spirit, we can do all things. Without him, we are human and we are weak. But if we walk with Jesus, as we learn today, we'll allow him to transform us as we become true disciples, walking with him, listening to his teaching, being ready to do what he calls us to do. To love God first and to love others before ourselves, we need to remind ourselves every day how much our Father loves us. We can't imagine how big it is, but we can't love others until we take from his love. People, we have to remember just what he has forgiven us by his death, by his resurrection. Did we sinners deserve that? Does God's love ever change? Does it ever leave us? No, never. He gave his precious son to die for you and I in our mess. His love is stronger than death, so that we won't die, but have his our Lord. His love never fails. It never changes. It never leaves us. Jesus sent out his first disciples to go and make more. And now he asks the same of us. He also left us his example to copy. Jesus, as he walked the earth, could see, of course, when he met with these people, what we can't. He knew how they had come to this place. When we look at the worst of criminals and we're judging, only God knows why they are like they are. What their past lives have been, how much neglect or abuse they'd suffered. He sees what we can't know, but we do know that we all have unique personalities. So the more we have the responsibility to love whoever we meet, whether rich or poor, healthy, broken, is in need of healing and forgiveness. And it's our duty to love because God said so. To love them all, whether we like them or not. But not with our meagre, human, judgmental attitude. Rather by drawing more and more on the love that we have received through our Saviour and Lord. Then, just as Jesus did, we can pray for all people. Ask God for the best for them. Express his kindness and compassion. And then walk with Jesus. To help when somebody's in trouble. To want the best for them. And when others are unkind to us, we can take it. Jesus said, if somebody, offer him the other. If somebody asks you to walk a mile, go and walk two or three. In Matthew 46, Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Even the tax collectors do. Brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore. Even as your Father is perfect. So in our second reading, nearly 2,000 years later, we hear of a scribe or teacher of the Old Testament law who came to Jesus with a question. He'd heard Jesus debating with some Sadducees. Sadducees were a sect of Jewishness, and they didn't believe in the afterlife. They didn't believe in angels. They thought life was life, and when it ended, you were done with that. That's why they were Sadducee. Get it? And he asked Jesus the most important, and he replied, "The most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, etc." And second, over the years, the teachers of the original law, the Ten Commandments, had added more than 300 rules for their people to obey, making it well nigh impossible for the Jewish people to obey them. The man who came to speak to Jesus, although he was a teacher of the Old Testament, had obviously never studied the scriptures. And he hadn't learned in questions of, was the Messiah, was the Christ who he should have known God would send? There are descriptions with fine details in the Old Testament of who Jesus would be, even down to they shared his clothes at his death. Every detail. And yet he didn't know that. Jesus' answer wasn't what the scribe wanted to hear, because he thought we do sometimes. But maybe he went away to ponder on what God had said and to pray to him. When Jesus tells us to go and make disciples, he isn't saying go and force your belief. He's asking us to do what he did, to go and love him, to show acceptance and kindness to whoever we meet. And then we can do the most important thing, and that is pray for them. Then and there, if they agree. But also when we've left them, confident that Jesus hears our prayers and passes them on to our Father in heaven. And when we pray, we can pray for our neighbours, pray for those we find it difficult to like, so that in time we will be able to love them. Pray for those who are unkind to us. Pray as we walk, pray as we work. And it doesn't have to be out loud. Do you know what? We can think our prayers to God. I do that all the time, do you? It's easy if you live on your own. I bet God thinks, oh gosh, here she comes again. Tim Mackey, a current Bible scholar, makes this simple comment. God, through Moses, told his people what they should not do. Jesus turned the focus onto all things that we should do. In my mind, a door was closed on a short, to begin with, list of loveless behaviours, and Jesus opened the door onto an infinite list of loving actions which all point to Christ. To finish, do you know what it's like to think prayers to God before you go to sleep? And then to wake up with a new thought that is so good. One night last week, I was thinking my prayers, thanking him that he hears my prayers, whether I speak them out or think them, and thanking him for all the blessings he has poured out on me and mine throughout my life. Gosh, it's been a rough walk, but God has never left me. Anyway, I reckon. But I wake up in the morning with, bing, a thought in my head, and I was reminded of something that I've always loved to do, a tiny thing. I've always loved knitting. I don't know how many of you knit. Bag full of all sorts of wool that you're never going to use again. And more often than not, they're in the most tangled mess that you could imagine. Well, I can't think of anything more satisfying than untangling messes of wool. I'll sit for alone until it comes out smooth and straight. The knots, everything. And I never cut bits off. I work it out until it's straight. And do you know what I think? I think that thought was a gift, and I believe he gave it to me. It describes what he's doing in my life, and I think there's still some untangling to go. But I believe that he gave me that thought with a smile of love. Amen.